You're listening to the WYXR Archived, powered by listeners like you. Donate online today at WYXR.org.
You're listening to Burn Ends on WYXR 91.7 FM Memphis. Here today with my guest, Dr. David Evans. David, can you hear me?
I sure can.
All right. I can hear you. So we're good. We're good.
Yeah.
Well, David, you know, we only got an hour, so I can't really go through your whole resume and list of accomplishments because it would take up a large chunk of it. But for people that don't know, you are a retired University of Memphis professor, a field recorder, a musician in your own right, an author, a Grammy Award winner. Anything else I'm missing?
Yeah, I got all those things. Let me see, I got inducted in the Blues Hall of Fame.
There you go. A
couple of years ago.
All right. And one of the many things you've done was run a record label out of the University of Memphis called High Water, and that's what I invited you in today to talk about.
Okay, I'd be glad to, yeah.
All right, well, David, why don't you start and just maybe to people who don't know, give them the explanation of what the High Water Recording Company was.
Okay, I came to Memphis, to the, well, then Memphis State University in 1978, and in the following year, we founded High Water Records. I had wanted to operate, so to speak, a record label dedicated to the kinds of music I was interested in, especially blues and gospel. And but you know, it's running a record company is a risky proposition, and I just didn't have the money to put aside into such a thing. So having the university run it was great. Of course, it was not profit making for me or losing, but you know, I was a professor there, so that didn't matter. So we founded it. Dick Ranta, Dr. Richard Ranta, who was the dean of our college, kind of he and his associates tried to help ease the idea through the administration and the state for the university to have a record label. This was, I think, something unique at the time, anyway.
Yeah, and and Memphis is a state school. Was it hard to get a state school to, you know, say, yeah, we'll commit the resources to doing that?
Well, it had to go through Nashville, and you know how Memphis and Nashville are.
So, yes.
Miraculously, it got approved, and the university has a record company, High Water, and two affiliated song publishing companies as well.
Do you remember the year you started the
well,
record company?
That was sort of 79. I got a grant that year too to produce four 45s of blues that was sort of currently viable, but also had a foot in tradition.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I had artists in mind, and so we did produce those four 45s by artists from Mississippi, all of them. Raymond Hill, who had played with Ike Turner's Kings of Rhythm and was once connected with Tina Turner before she was Tina Turner. Yeah. And anyway, Raymond and his then wife, Lily Hill, did a fine two-sided record. Raymond played sax, and so we numbered that record 408 because the last Sun 45 was 407. So
that was actually one of my questions for you: why the 45 run starts at 408?
I saw High Water as not the continuation of Sun Records. I mean, there was no way, but as doing the same thing. In a way, just documenting artists that were seeped in tradition, you know, from the area, but still had a commercial potential, some following, and could deliver powerful music. So that's basically what we tried to do. And it lasted. I mean, the music's available to this day.
Well, if you start...
Three of the artists are in the Blues Hall of Fame now.
Yeah, and about 16 or 17 years after you would have started the label, I was passing through Memphis in the... I don't know if it was around 96 or 97, and I stopped into Shangri-La on my way through, and I picked up the Fieldstones LP.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the first... That was my introduction to High Water. And to me... And I've always almost viewed them as like the mascot or the official, like, they're like the face of High Water to me. They had the 245s and they had the Killer LP. And for some reason, they're the first band I think of when I think of High Water.
Well, they were an incredible band, and I found them and sort of the whole blues scene that they represented quite by accident. Not dry. I think I was distributing our first four 45s. To Boss Ugly Bob.
Oh, yeah.
They had a chain of record stores. Robert Catron was his name. And I went to his headquarters store on Macklemore Avenue and delivered some of those 45s and always chatted with Bob. He was a gold mine of information about Memphis music and knew everybody. And I was driving down Macklemore and saw a sign on the door of a place called Willie's Lounge that said, live music Saturday night. You know, I might have said live blues. I think it just said live music. And so I went there Saturday night, and there it was. You know, the Fieldstones, there was about 200 people there and well-dressed, sitting at tables and up dancing, and they were playing the kind of music we just heard.
Well, I'm glad you said dancing, because when I think of the Fieldstones, I think of a dance band.
Well, yeah, they could get people up, that's for sure. And not everybody. I mean, people like to listen, too.
And I got the first thing I queued up is the first track off the Fieldstones LP. It's also called the Fieldstones. So in my mind, it's like their theme song, and to me, they're like the High Water band. So
yeah, there is Wordy Perkins on guitar, the lead guitar. He was an incredible musician, very quiet guy. Unfortunately, had a drinking problem, but he was an incredible guitarist. Played everything in open E flat minor tuning, which if you're a guitarist, think about that. And then he would use a capo, but that's how he got his unique guitar sound that sounds modern, maybe a little bit jazzy, but at the same time, deeply traditional in this open tuning. So, and then Joe Hicks on drums, so that beat, he started out in fife and drum band music in Mississippi, so he's got that beat in him. Lois Brown on bass. There are not too many female guitar and bass players, but she was very good and nice person, too. She kind of held the group together. Then the other guitarist, Wilroy Sanders, more of a wild man, but also a unique stylist.
Yeah, and Wilroy was still alive, and some of the Fieldstones were still alive, and they were still playing when I moved here and my times to come here before. They were still down at Green's Lounge when I first started coming to Memphis, and feel real fortunate that I got to see him many, many times.
And then Bobby Carnes on the organ, he was a sanitation worker. He marched with Dr. King.
All right,
and,
well.
He was a quiet fellow. He kind of held it together as well.
Well, let's hear the Fieldstones do the Fieldstones, and then you'll see what I mean when I say I consider the Fieldstones just a great dance band.
Fieldstones, yeah, the Fieldstones. play. Will she play? No, she on her way. Take our lead. No, he can pick. When he pick, he put you in a trick. Talking about them Fieldstones, yeah, the Fieldstones. Talking about the Fieldstones, yeah, the Fieldstones. Talking about the Fieldstones, the Fieldstones. Second lead, he played well. Playing in the dead. Keyboard man, name is Bobby Corns. When he play that board, yeah, everything is wrong. Talking about the Fieldstones, yeah, the Fieldstones. You take me, I play drums. Pick up my sticks. Got to fix. When I play, I got to beat. Beat them drums, yeah. I knock you off your feet. That is the Fieldstones, yeah, the Fieldstones, the Fieldstones. Oh, Fieldstones, talking about the Fieldstones, yeah, the Fieldstones. That is the Fieldstone, y'all. I'm talking about the Fieldstone. Yeah, the Fieldstone. Yeah, talking about the Fieldstones. Everybody knows about the Fieldstone. Yeah, yeah, I'm talking about the Fieldstones. The stones.
Jump Lord, head out on the line. See my Jump Lord, head out on the line. Nobody has something on my mind. Window, been here, baby, Lord, if it hadn't have been for you. If it hadn't have been for you. Way down here. Way you wanna do. fix my supper, baby, Lord, let me go to bed. Fix my supper, baby, Lord, let me go to bed. White lightning done gone to my head.
That was Uncle Ben and his nephews, Mama Look at Sis, and before that, R.L. Burnside and Sound Machine.
Right.
Jumper hanging off out on the line.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those are two High Water 45s, two of my favorites. David, what do you remember about Uncle Ben?
Well, Uncle Ben was from a little place in Virginia, way out in the middle of nowhere somewhere out in the country. And grew up on the farm. He had moved to Baltimore Well, he'd been a merchant marine during World War II, went all everywhere, India, Africa, all around the world. And so he'd seen the world, and then he went back to Baltimore, settled there, and ran an auto body shop and played rhythm and blues music on the side. And he married a woman from Mississippi. I think it was his fourth wife, if I remember correctly. And he followed her back down here, and she took him for all of his money and ditched him, and I don't know, whatever. That's what he said, and he wound up in Memphis and became a street singer. Beale Street was, this was, what, 1980, 81, I guess around there. Beale Street was still not open officially. It was pretty much a ruin. And he would play out in Handy Park, and there would be derelicts there. There would be tourists, some local people. There were still one or two businesses left on the street. And the people would come there to see the statue of W.C. Handy, and he'd play for tips, and he did pretty well.
Do you know if that's the only Uncle Ben recording?
A fellow, gosh, I forget his name, made a cassette of Uncle Ben.
Okay.
Ben used to sell it, just like he did his 45. It was one of our best-selling 45s, because Ben knew how to get those tips and how to sell.
Yeah, and you see that one from time to time. Have you ever heard the Memphis band, The Oblivions, cover it?
No, I don't think so.
It's a great version.
He had young musicians accompany him and set up and kind of get their chops together, backing him up. Roosevelt Briggs, maybe he was in his late 30s or 40s, harmonica player, and Kenny Welch, who played the guitar there, second guitar, very well. He was a young guy, student. In fact, I think he later went into the insurance or banking business, but he was one of Uncle Ben's nephews, you know. So.
Okay, and then the record before Uncle Ben was that R.L. Burnside record. So on High Water there, you had one guy that barely recorded at all, Uncle Ben, uh-huh. And then R.L. Burnside, who had some great recordings made years before the High Water release, and then obviously went on to...
And after, yeah. We were in a kind of middle period for him. He had... George Mitchell had first recorded him in 1967, and he made some more recordings around 70, 71, and mostly acoustic or at least solo. He probably had gotten an electric guitar on some of them. But by the late 70s, when I came to Memphis, he had kind of gotten back to playing locally. I mean, maybe those early recordings and efforts and a few festival appearances gave him a reputation locally. I don't know what, but that's what he was doing, playing on weekends and at Jukes for a while. And then he would set himself up at his home and turn it into a juke on weekends, buy a lot of beer with the money he made driving a tractor, and have people over and play music. There was a young guy, a white guy in Coldwater named Kent Laundrie, who would help him out with equipment and keep everything in repair, and sometimes sit in with him. Kent did a lot to keep R.L. going, help keep him going in the 70s. And when I came in 79, I made some connections with some people in Holland, and then recorded him myself for High Water, and kind of helped keep his career going through the 80s.
Yeah,
there was not much interest in his music in America at that time.
Yeah, and then of course, you know, 10 years later, or however, whenever it was, it all kind of got real
big.
Yeah,
in the early 90s, yeah. The Robert Johnson record got reissued, and suddenly people wanted to know what was going on in the South, but in the 80s, they didn't, it really hurt the label. And the interest in blues was Chicago blues, and everybody thought that Southern blues was dead.
Yeah. And at least, and then we started off with the Fieldstones doing the Fieldstones off their LP, which I think is the first High Water LP. And for me, at least, the one that started me off on my interest in the label. I mean, I picked up that record and I was obsessed with that record. And right before we went on the air, I showed you some correspondence that we had in the late 90s when I think I sent in a check for about $13 to you with a High Water order form back when the 45s were like $1.30 a pop, and you returned the check to me and said, sorry, these are all out of stock.
The Fieldstones, of course, they had quite a career during the 1980s. I saw them first at Willie's Lounge on Macklemore, and then at the J&J Lounge on Mississippi Boulevard and Walker, and then they went to Green's Lounge on Person Avenue and stayed there for years. And a lot of people from white folks from Memphis and visitors from overseas that heard their records started coming eventually to Green's Lounge. We did a video of one of their songs, I'm in Trouble, that's on the album. Students did it. I forget the fellow's name, but he did a very good job. He was in the video department, and he worked with my engineer, who I think also did a very good job, Stan Gibson, who's now a cook at the university, a chef.
I've seen that video. It's the Fieldstones, I'm in Trouble. And if you go on YouTube now, you can look at it. It's amazing.
But we sent it to MTV. This was 1983. And they were not programming much black music at that time. I'll just tell it like it is or what was. They didn't play it.
Well, it's a great song. It's a great video. So it's their loss.
Well, their loss, but it was our loss, too, and the Fieldstones' loss. It could have put the label and them over the top. I mean, I think it's that good. I'm not bragging. I'm no producer. In fact, Richard Height, formerly of Canned Heat, helped me out in production. I hadn't been in a studio, much less produced anything, until I started producing for High Water. And that was, 1980, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, the next record I have is really one of my favorites on the label. I think it's a sleeper on the label, Rainey Burnett.
Oh, yeah.
What do you remember about him?
Well, he had been a big blues man in the Como, Senatobia, Holly Springs area in the 40s and 50s. Singing and playing electric guitar, sometimes in a duo with a guy called Son Hibbler, who never got recorded. Rainey had kind of retired when I first met him in 1969. He still played a few house parties and jukes, things like that, but not so much. He'd bought a house in Senatobia and settled down. He'd joined the Masons. He had a job as a maintenance man in a private golf club there. So, you know, he was kind of coming up in the world and joining the middle class, you could say. He still had it in him, you know, to play, and I encouraged him and got this record out by him, some gigs in Holland. Some people over there recorded one of his concerts while he was still under contract with High Water and sold it, and it's on Fat Possum now.
Okay. Well, you want to hear Rainey do Coal Black Batty?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Yeah, this is a traditional song in the region. Wilroy Sanders and the Fieldstones also recorded a version of it on their second CD for High Water.
All right, let's hear.
Black Matter, now she got changed clothes. Food got that man and throw my trunk out doors. I said, cold black Matty, she ain't got changing clothes. Need no heater, no fireplace by my bed. One of them loving keep me cherry red. I don't want no heater, fireplace by my bed. Baby, now let your daddy see. Shaking that thing, nothing bad. God pulled me, and I said, run, young baby, let your daddy see. Good potato, better grab you. Nancy Hall. One good woman, better grab you. Long and tall, I say. You want a good woman, get you long and tall. Jumper baby hanging out on the line. No, my baby, Lord, she's on my mind. Now you see my jumper hanging out on the line. Good, baby. It's good to me, I know. Yeah, baby, now let your daddy see. Shaking that thing, nothing by God pulled me. I said, run, yeah, baby, let your daddy see.
Got a woman off the bottom, thank the wood in all of me. I'm going down across the bottom, get my boots and shoes, get my boots and shoes. Ain't got no money, ain't got no time to lose.
Jesse May Hampel doing Shame on You. I mean, such a what an amazing musician.
Yeah, she was. Jesse had a really unusual style on the guitar. I mean, some people called it simple, and in some ways it was. She was just playing her across the three strings of the guitar with her finger. But she had a great touch, you know, and it was something unique. She really turned simplicity into an art.
Hypnotic.
Indeed, yeah. And the rhythm, she sang and played guitar and tambourine with her foot, and then she overdubbed snare drum and bass drum herself. So she plays everything there.
Yeah, and I was only lucky enough to get to see her once. And David, you were playing with her.
Yeah, I did through much of the 1980s. And so we toured in Europe, I think, four times. And she had a number of gigs, some by herself, too.
Yeah,
and then there were others that played with her from time to time.
And before Jesse May Hemphill, we heard the Hollywood All-Stars. But really, it was more of a Ben Wilson.
It was just track. Ben Wilson. He was from around Rosemark, Tennessee. And I had, you know, just asked him about his life, trying to get a little bio on him for the album of the All-Stars. And he said he was from Rosemark, used to play solo there. So I just asked him if he could recall some songs in that style, and he came out with that and another very fine piece too. That song was also a version of it recorded by a singer named Lighty Merle, who was quite famous, who lived out in Mason, Tennessee. So it seemed to be something that was known in the country in West Tennessee. It's real old sounding.
It's really my favorite. It might be my favorite track on the album. I almost wish it was like a whole LP's worth of Ben Wilson playing that stuff.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, Ben was quite a character. You know, he was the leader of the Hollywood All-Stars, and he was also, you might say, the enforcer.
It's funny you say that, because he was still around and playing when I moved to Memphis, and I got to see him a lot, and he seemed like a tough guy.
He was a tough guy. Nice, I mean, to me anyway, but yeah, he was the enforcer.
I remember he just had a demeanor about him that was imposing for a guy who was probably almost a foot shorter than
yeah,
him.
Yeah, he was a short guy, but tough.
Yeah, well,
carried a pistol every day.
Oh, well, not surprised. And then I think we started off with Rainey Burnett, who we already talked about. So how did you choose? Rainey. I mean, how did you decide, David? Like, who you were interested in putting records out on High Water Records? And let me just remind everybody, if you're just tuning in, we're talking to Dr. David Evans today about the High Water Record label that was run out of the University of Memphis and put out tons of great records, and everything we've played so far is on High Water. So how did you like decide who was going to get a record?
Well, I would hear these musicians live, meet them often. Some would come to the gigs of the others and sit in or something like that. But anyway, they were all good. You know, that's just that was the problem. We couldn't put out records fast enough and sell them. You know, all this was through the university, and the label had to pay for itself. We got some money from grants, and I must admit that they helped. Two grants from the National Endowment for the Arts that kind of kicked it off, and then some faculty research grants from the university itself.
Is there anybody that comes to mind that was kicking around in Memphis during these years that you would have liked to put a record out on that you just didn't get to?
Yeah, there were some. B. Brown was one. He had made some records back in the 50s and 60s. He was from Hernando, Mississippi, but I think he lived in Memphis, played harmonica and drums. He was good, you know. His old records are good, but he was kind of elusive character. He was the ex-husband of Lois Brown of the Fieldstones.
Oh, okay.
And he would actually come around sometimes there, but he would always leave, you know. He was just one of these people that was on the go, and you never could catch up with him. Would have liked to record him. Booker T. Lowry, pianist, I thought was great. He had made some records. He had toured in Europe even in in Africa, even. Memphis Slim booked him there.
If of the records you did, that of the records that Highwater did put out, do you got a favorite, or you, can you not choose?
Ooh, I couldn't choose. I just heard some tonight. I'd almost forgotten about them. They were so good.
And right now we're just playing, you know, favorites that I happen to bring with me. But we could, you know, we could make this show be hours and hours and not play a bad track. Well, forget about favorite. Do you remember from the books, like, what was there a bestseller?
The Fieldstones album did pretty well.
Yeah.
Let me see, of the 45s, well, Jesse sold a lot on her shows because we went in second or third pressings there. Let's see, Burnside, not so much, although he had fans, you know, from his prior recordings. So that sold pretty well. Uncle Ben, because he was such a salesman on Beale Street. Wayne L. Jones, I don't think we've played him yet.
We haven't, but I brought him. We'll see if we can get to it. You know, we've just been talking about the music, but one thing, it doesn't really translate on radio maybe, but the aesthetic of the Highwater records, black and white picture sleeves, I mean, they're really some of my favorite looking records in the entire world. And I imagine a lot of that was related to budget, just doing black and white, but I mean, they're beautiful, and they really leave a, I mean, they just, you see them and you're like, that's a record I got out.
Yeah, well, we had to start with 45s, and so, you know, I wanted a picture and I wanted some notes, you know, being an academic.
Well, a lot of people doing 45s just don't do picture sleeves at all, or if they do, they do them color. But to me, with a picture sleeve, a 45 picture sleeve, black and white's the only way to go. So
that's all we could afford, too.
Oh, that too. Speaking of, you know, a great picture sleeve, I got Hubert Crawford and the King Riders band doing King Riders Boogie up next, and it's one of my favorites. And I'll tell you, from talking to a bunch of record collectors all the time, this is what I would describe as a Highwater Records cult classic. This is one that everyone always talks about and asks about.
My colleague in the photography department, Larry Jason, now retired also, I brought him down to the clubhouse of the King Riders, which is on, Mississippi Boulevard, I believe.
That's where I remember being. It was in the same location when I moved here.
Right. It's still there, but it's something else now.
Yeah. Well, what do you remember about Hubert Crawford? It's a really interesting label.
He was an interesting guy, a musician to his heart. He had made one or two 45s with some R&B guys in the 60s when everybody was making a 45. And then he got into gospel and became the guitarist and singer and sometimes keyboard player for the Spirit of Memphis Quartet when they were kind of coming off the road, you know, their glory days were over.
This was after the Peacock years?
Yeah, right. And so then he moved down to Mississippi. He left the group, the Spirit of Memphis, and he just left the group and went back to rhythm and blues music. That's what it was. Had some sort of a falling out, and but still was available, you know, for things. But he was also a motorcyclist and a member of the King Riders, so he formed a trio, and they were the King Riders band, sort of official band, as well as members. And he pitched that to me. I knew him from the Spirit of Memphis because he sang with them and played keyboard or guitar as needed. And so, you know, that was the last 45 we put out on the label, and it was a good one. He rapped on it.
It's one of my favorites, and I think it's the second band theme song we're going to play tonight. So, let's hear it, shall we?
King Riders Boogie.
Now I got something to say. Now this is a message from Pig today. If you see some cycles coming your way, don't turn and run. The because there's only the king rattles coming to have a little fun. Now let's boogie. Now there's Big Ed, Jose, and Suzuki James, all packed down, going to do their thing. Now there's Dr. John, Black Baron, Wild Child, all stretched out, riding side by side. Now I tried to put this thing together for days, and I couldn't get it all together until I got Benny Stewart down on that bass. Now let's boogie. Now there's Yummy Charlie, Sad Wanda, and Big Mose. Done rode so far, it's time for them to doze. But they wouldn't dare stop and get some sleep, because they are trying to catch up with Tennessee. Now if you see these cycles are coming your way, just stop and say this is a message from Pig today. Now let's boogie. Let's boogie. Now let's boogie. Now let's boogie. Now there's Josh, Big Rob, and Spinning Top, all in the van, are looking for the spot where the king rattles will be throwing down, because Playboy will tell you that the king rattles don't mess around. Now let's boogie. Now there's Pope Sally, Grasshopper, and Ho Chi Minh, all sitting around the clubhouse waiting for Big James. Now if you see these cycles are coming your way, just stop and say, this is a message from Pig today. Now let's boogie. Now for all of this, we couldn't do our thing if it wasn't for that great DJ, Mr. Willie Stain. Now all you sack of rattles sitting around having a ball, now let us all take time out and give Willie Stain some applause. And if you see these cycles headed your way, just stop and say this is a message from Pig today. So let's boogie. Now let's boogie. Now let's boogie. Now let's boogie. Thank you.
Hate to Fade Down, that one. But we're running out of time, and we got a little more chatting to do and at least one more record to play. So tell us what we just heard.
Hezekiah and the House Rockers, Do Your Thing. I think it was some R&B song. He didn't have a whole lot of original pieces, but they had an incredible sound. I think Hezekiah is still living around Natchez, Mississippi, in his 90s. He was a strong guy, a family man, worked for the tire company Armstrong, I think, for 30 or 40 years and retired. Started out with fife and drum music, and he sang and played the drums and played harmonica attached to his vocal microphone, so he could sing and then take harmonica breaks while playing the drums. Pee Wee Whitaker had started out with the Rabbit's Foot Minstrels back in the, I think, the 20s, and played with Louis Jordan and had the house band in the club in Faraday, Louisiana, where Jerry Lee Lewis got his exposure to music. And then the young James Baker on guitar played through a bass amp. He was a young guy and just with a relentless beat.
I love the trombone. It's,
what a group.
It's great.
What a sound. Yeah.
And
three generations.
Yeah, and then we, before that, we played Hubert Crawford and the King Riders doing King Riders Boogie, which we talked about. And, you know, we got all these records left to play. We're just not going to get to them, but we decided to close with
Hubert overdubbed a lot of the parts on that. And then he had a bass player and a drummer.
Okay. Well, you and I decided what to end with, and we're going to do I Feel Good Little Girl by Junior Kimbrough and the Soul Blues Boys, another guy that had recorded a little bit before High Water and then went on to do a lot.
Sylvester Oliver at Rust College produced that. He was a grad student of mine, and he had known Junior around Holly Springs. I had heard his record, and it took me there to meet Junior in 79, and then we recorded him few years later is his second commercial record.
Yeah, then went on to have a lot of success in the 90s.
Yeah.
Sold a lot of records. Great records, too. Well, David, I really had a great time talking to you about all this stuff, and I hope you had a good time, too.
I sure did.
All right, so we've been talking about High Water Records. I'm here with Dr. David Evans, and we're going to close out with some Junior Kimbrough, I Feel Good, Little Girl. All right. Thanks again, David.